In this episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, please join us as we interview Travis Richards and Christopher Escalante from The Dark Tide.
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community, by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Travis Richards, a creator and writer of The Dark Tide, and also a video game composer.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christopher Escalante, composer and voice actor for The Dark Tide, as well as video games.
Hey, this is A. Rowan, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of Neverwinter Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity.
DM Jastin here from the Realms of Trinity and Neverwinter Nights podcast member.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast. And you're listening to the 148th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Well, we got a heck of an episode here. Travis Richards, previously he's done tons of custom music and scores for the Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 game engine. He has created a new animatronic, a series of episodes called The Dark Tide. He's going to join us in the show later, one of his buddies, Chris, and we're going to get into a nice interview, talk about how they got started and all that good stuff. But first, you know, we have a couple news items. The news is a little bit down this episode due to the vault, and that's what we're going to talk about now. The IGN vault has been having some serious issues lately. It's just from, you know, people being able to post their new content or just about anything for this point in the game. There's been no real updates on the vault for a while now. I'm not exactly sure when exactly it went down, but it's been a little while. Beyond the Pale posted on the BioWare community forum the following, and I'm going to read it real quick for those who haven't, and this will also be in the show notes, but I'm going to read it for those who haven't heard it yet. He says that we have had some technical difficulties as the data centers have been transferred. Currently, I am unable to get email, unable to process most of the entries supplied by the community. The techs are working on the issue. I am, unfortunately, in a holding pattern until this is resolved. I appreciate everyone's patience, and I will do my best to get everything smoothed out once I'm able. So from this, it certainly seems that they're actually upgrading their facilities and getting the site up to date. The site has been progressively slowing down and slowing down as the more content has been added to it. And traffic, possibly, could have been a factor there as well. So this is probably a great thing for everybody once it's all smoothed out. Unfortunately, bad timing with the BioWare community login server that's used for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 being down at the same time. So there's been, a lot of the community members seem to be dropping off pretty quick due to these several issues that have been brought up to Persistent Worlds for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 and their security until they get patched up. So at the very least, there were some workarounds, and we'll be talking about them shortly here. So.
Yeah, the next big thing is we have an update from the Amethyst Dragon, so we have that for you here right now.
Hello all, the Amethyst Dragon from the world of Enya. Here are the few short news items for the Neverwinter Nights podcast listeners. First up, the Neverwinter Nights community site. When the old BioWare Neverwinter Nights message board was hacked, BioWare shut down the old forum, master server, and the original official site for Neverwinter Nights. Anyone going to the old address, nwn.bioware.com, is redirected to the main BioWare site, where the only trace of Neverwinter Nights is a very, very brief mention, with no real useful information, buried on their legacy games page. On the newer BioWare forums, Superfly 2000 brought up the topic of a new homepage for our beloved game. There was general support for it, so I went ahead and started one. I've been slowly filling it with essential information and links to resources for players, DMs, module builders, and custom content makers. It also has a link to the forums and directly to the page on Good Old Games where you can purchase and download the game. Basically, the site is intended to be a starting point for anyone looking for information on this incredible game. The address for this new site? www.neverwinternights.info. I am taking suggestions, high-quality screenshots, and useful information for this site, so anyone that wants to contribute can do so. I'm also looking for anyone that links to anything Neverwinter Nights related, and a link to neverwinternights.info to help spread the word and help bring the site up a bit for online search results. Next up, the master server for player authentication. As most people know by now, this has been offline for quite a while and is causing headaches for many people. Server administrators have to worry about people logging in under someone else's username and messing with characters. Players are having to wait a long time for the master server to time out when logging into their favorite servers. It's been rather frustrating. Luckily, there are some relatively quick and easy workarounds. For server security, a builder can use scripting in a database to tie a player's public CD key to their username. The best way I've seen so far has been provided by FunkySwerve from the Persistent World Higher Ground. The complete set of scripts is stickied at the top of the BioWare social site's Neverwinter Nights 1 general discussion forum. As a Persistent World creator, I want to send out a hearty thank you to FunkySwerve for making this available to the rest of us. There's a link directly to this thread on the builder page at neverwinternights.info. It's under tutorials. Windows users have a way available for skipping through the wait time for the master server to time out, which I discovered by accident. If you have the Neverwinter Nights client extender, NWNCX, installed, it will cause the game to actually bypass the master server, making logging into your favorite game world or server much faster. I originally installed NWNCX so that I could add the new weapon visual effects to the game for my players, which are in addition to the standard 7 effects like fire and dripping acid. It also includes a function to unlock the game's camera angle, which makes the game more immersive. It was just a pleasant surprise to find that logging in had become much faster without that wait for a timeout. There is a link to this on the player page at neverwinternights.info. It's under Game Enhancements. One nice thing about the master server being offline? Anyone can download and play the premium modules for free. I, for one, have been mentally kicking myself for not purchasing Wyvern Crown of Cormyr back when it was available. I was short on cash at the time. Now I may get to play through it. I'm just short on free time these days. There's a sticky thread in the BioWare General Forum where you can find these modules. Well, thank you for listening. It's the Amethyst Dragon signing off and saying now, let's go back to the rest of the podcast.
Thanks for that update, Amethyst Dragon. Appreciate you taking the time to record that and get that information out to the community. Also, want to get into the Neverwinter Nights Podcast 2011 Custom Content Creation Contest. I believe we had a deadline for 9-1. It was for a creation of custom creature models, and we have not received any submissions for that yet. And we would like to, you know, extend that out to give people more time, maybe. You know, we're going to extend it out to 12/1/2011. Hopefully that we get some submissions and some legwork here. And well, something we want to talk about, though, in general, and I think it's just that this is a good thing to talk about because it's symptomatic of what we are seeing in the Neverwinter Nights 2 community. So I think the first thing we want to talk about is, you know, we need to hear some feedback on what would be good incentives for these things. I mean, we do what we can. We don't get anything for this podcast. We're in the hole pretty good right now just from the hosting fees and everything. And we've received very, very little of any kind of compensation, you know, any donations or anything like that. And we've tried not to. Actually, we hardly have any kind of advertisements on our web property. So, you know, we would like to stay away from being link farms and whatnot. So hopefully, you know, we can get some kind of legwork. So if you can send us any kind of suggestions, if you're out there listening, you know, it'd be really helpful if you could suggestions of things that you think would entice this, because, you know, we really feel that with people not creating content for the game, it's going to die. I mean, the number of players that are out there is steadily dropped, especially with the current string of issues that we've been seeing with the systems from BioWare. And yeah, I really feel that it would be really helpful if people were still making content. I know that they're unable to submit things via the IGN Vault, but that's what we're here for. I mean, we're not the IGN Vault. However, we have the means to propagate content out to people, and we have the content showcase sections on our websites, too. If you are a custom content creator and you can't update your stuff out on the IGN Vault, it would be great to submit it to us, and we'll put it out there for you. I mean, it's more power to you. So If you can do that, that would be really helpful. What do you guys think about the all this stuff?
No, I definitely agree. The one thing I'd say, too, is, I mean, as Brian said, you know, we're definitely interested in seeing what you guys can create. So please feel free. I mean, this is not in any way, you know, going to be something that gets judgmental or, you know, my stuff's better than their stuff. It's just something that we're trying to do to help the community and, you know, to give people who want to be creative but don't have an outlet to do it in their current servers or their current setting to sort of say, hey, here's something I can do. Here's an idea I had. So that even if it doesn't necessarily fit within your server, it's something that can still be showcased and maybe used somewhere else.
Yeah, I think the big thing is really we just want to make sure that new content continues to be developed. We want to make sure people stick around and have fun with the game. We don't want it to disappear.
Yeah, there's a lot of people still enjoying the game. I mean, when I go through the server list, I mean, there's still, I would say in the hundreds, you know, at any given time during the day, people on the various servers, and I mean, but it has dropped. And I think, and the more persistent worlds that I talk to, I'm in talks with most of all the ones that we've interviewed over the past 6 months, and from what they've been telling me, they're seeing a steady drop off as well. So, but there's always going to be the people who are not going to go anywhere, and you know, they love the game, they love what it has to offer, and the fact that all of these persistent worlds and module creators are producing this content that just keeps getting, you know, just gets better and better. I mean, better things, better scripting, more advanced ways to push the tool set, you know, which we're going to talk about when we talk about our Chapter 7 development update. And there's a lot of room for continued growth in this platform, even Neverwinter Nights 1 especially. Any application that can live 10 years almost, and then seeing the stuff that's been done, whether it's Project Q or the CEP, and countless add-ons that the game creators themselves at BioWare probably never even dreamed that they would ever going to happen. That kind of stuff can only happen when the community's out there creating these things and incentivized by playing these things. If you're looking for a Neverwinter 3, it's not going to happen, at least not anytime soon. Even the new Neverwinter from Cryptic is a long ways off, especially with the buyout we had mentioned in the last episode. I know it's going to offer some good stuff, but you know, it ain't going to be right now. We have a long way to go as a community before that those things can come to fruition. So it'd be really good to see everybody get together. But like we were talking about before, don't hesitate. Yes, post on our Facebook, post on our forum, contact me directly by email. You know, our contact information is on the staff page and on the forum, so definitely feel free to contact us any way we've made available to so we can help you.
Another thing to point out there is, I mean, that goes for any custom content, not just for the contest. You know, the IGM vault's messed up right now. Anything you have that you're trying to put out there, go ahead, send it to us. Make it available.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We have the custom content showcase on our website for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, where we've already gathered up, you know, highly influential stuff that we know about. I mean, there's probably tons of other entries that we don't have updates for or, you know, never used ourselves personally. But that's why I said this is a community podcast. There's no snubbery going on here or anything like that. If it's not on the list, shoot me an IM, shoot me an email, shoot me something. It'll get on there. I promise you that. We spend a lot of time making sure that our web properties for the Neverwinter Nights podcast are up to date and have everything we can get on there with the time that we have available to us. So we don't make anything off this. This is strictly for the community. So if you have something, please feel free to get it to us, and we'll get it out there. No matter how long the vault's down, at least we'll have a thing. And then when the vault comes back up, hey, it's there. You can repost it underneath the vault. Simple as that.
Yeah. And something I'd add, too, just maybe partially to wrap it up and partially to recap, is, you know, don't be paranoid that the numbers are dropping right now. It is September. People go back to college. People go back to school. I've been informed recently by various agencies through hiring that it was sort of a bad summer for job-wise, so there's a lot of people starting up their job in the fall instead of the spring out of college. So it's just one of those things that, you know, don't be afraid to join in thinking that, you know, everything's going to be gone in a month. You know, just join in, have some fun, level up, you know, enjoy what you do, and go from there.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, we're not going anywhere, and I know that a lot of the other servers aren't going anywhere either, so they're continuously pumping out new content. There's plenty of reasons to continue playing the game, and I know the new games come out all the time. It might seem better, quote, end quote, but they're really not. I mean, there's not a game out there that I could say, point to that's been released, role-playing-wise, that's anywhere to the caliber of Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2. And its expandability and allowing the most amount of people to get their hands in the cookie jar, so to speak, to really express themselves creatively. So yeah, those are all big facets of the game engine. So,
and not to mention it's free to pay it, play every month.
Yeah, exactly. All this content, these people spend hours. I mean, I'm not even talking from our own perspective, but the fact that I know that everybody that we've interviewed over the past 6 months, whether it be a persistent world, Neverwinter Nights 1, Neverwinter Nights 2, module creator, Neverwinter Nights 1, Neverwinter Nights 2, on and on and on. Content creators, they spend tons of their own time. I mean, they could be doing other things. You got leaving them, you got all this other, this, that, and the other, you know, just because they're really into getting stuff out there and for people to enjoy. That's actually a big facet of Dungeons & Dragons itself, period, that got translated into this game platform, was the fact that people, you know, the Dungeon Masters were creating these campaigns on paper, but the reason why they were driven to do that, because they had fun doing it. They enjoyed having people experience what they've created. So, in essence, Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 has captured that electronically and really makes a big difference in the community. So, anybody, you know, wants to definitely do everything we can to keep this facet alive, because it may never come back again if this ever dies. Because, I mean, there's just the game companies don't create games like this anymore. This was a fluke of sorts. So, even if they come with modding tools, they're not, nothing's like Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 that I've ever seen. So, just keep that in mind.
So, talking about new development, what else do we have in store for Chapter 7?
Well, we got a lot of stuff, actually. Realms of Trinity 2, Chapter 7, Void of the Light, is an extremely advanced chapter of our campaign. This is the final chapter of our second campaign. I've talked about it before, and we released several videos on YouTube. Just search for Realms of Trinity 2. And you'll see there's a couple videos out there to show a couple clips of what we've been able to create. Just short of them, we have flying skyships that look real as could be. The effects are ridiculous. We have skyship battles with cannons and ships getting blown up. And, you know, it looks fantastic. All this stuff has been done using, you know, special new visual effects, new scripting, systems that I put in place and was able to figure out how to do stuff that's never been done before. But I figured give it a shot to see how it was going to play out. It takes a lot of time, it's a lot of detail, but the effect is extremely awesome, and you know, I hope everybody out there that plays Realms of Trinity or Neverwinter Nights 2 can come in and check some of this stuff out. It's fantastic. But as far as the development status, we have finished up all the areas, all the mob, and we got about half of the Chapter 7 scripted. Scripting in Chapter 7 is probably 10 times more intense and long than it has been in any of our previous works. We're a heavily scripted server for just to make sure that it's immersive and it's full. All the stuff looks real and feels real and it's smooth, air bug free. But this stuff here is way beyond that, because what we've created has a lot to do with branching technology, like where you and your compatriots can take different paths in the story, and you'll have totally different content and totally different outcomes for this chapter. And so I'm basically developing everything, either two sets of everything so that you can take that path, or one board that has the logic in it to switch between to morph itself into whatever version that you have. So all this stuff has to be coded. This all has to be airtight, because you're going to be a group of adventurers running around, and you got to have the same stuff, or otherwise it would make no sense at all if you started off on a certain path and then you party up with somebody else and went down a whole different path, because it just wouldn't be right. So it is just very heavily scripted to prevent, you know, that kind of stuff from happening. And not only that, I'm spending a lot of time developing this chapter to be fluid. I mean, like it's boom, 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 one board to the next automatically. So there's not a lot of because it's so complicated, I didn't want there to be any chance for confusion on what you have to do next. or the story, or the what you know, the way everything's set up, because it is so complicated. It's not just walk into a room, kill some crap, and then move on to the next room. It's nothing like that at all. I mean, this stuff is like real. I mean, when you're getting into a skyship battle, you got to man the cannons and stuff, and meanwhile you're being besieged by other legions coming boarding the ship, and you got to stop them from stopping you. And it's chaos. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on like that, and it really plays that way so far, that you know, especially with some of the visual effects and stuff. So certainly it's taken a lot longer than we anticipated due to the completeness and the complexity of what we're trying to do. We didn't want to just rush something out there and cut back on the features, just like when we did the Underdark collapse in Chapter 5. I mean, people still talk about that left and right because of how real it was, and how with our custom timer countdown and stuff collapsing around you, that we took the extra time to do that. We could have cheesed it. We could have just had some smoke flying right here and there, and you run out, and there's no time or nothing. But that stuff would have been cheese. So we wanted to make sure that this was monster free or cheddar free. So, that's it in a nutshell. Well, you guys got anything else?
No, I think you covered Chapter 7 pretty well there.
Excellent.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Excellent.
Let's play it.
Yeah, I know. That's all I hear. what can I beta test? Yet? Yeah, what can I beta test? Well, soon enough. Soon enough. We'll get there. And we're going to have plenty of beta tests, let me tell you. So, all right, guys. Well, let's get in the interview and let's talk about the Dark Tide.
Sounds good.
Well, hey, guys. Thanks for coming on the show. I know you were on a previous episode, but can you tell us about yourself for those who haven't heard yet? You can get as personal as you want, or you can get into whatever else.
Well, as personal as I want, right?
Yeah, you want to talk about what you do for the day job and whatnot, background?
Well, I don't think we want to talk about my day job. It's nothing to be proud of.
pin number.
Well, wait a second. Well, I am actually a musician by trade. But I'm still in school right now for I'm actually a trombone performance major at Northern Kentucky University. In my last semester, I'm graduating in December, where I plan to move on. I would like to move on into music composition and, hopefully pursue a career in, game or video game composing and audio editing, as well as maybe even a career in performance and, other musical thingies. So that's me, Travis.
Yes.
About myself, well, I am just finishing up school at Utah Valley University. So I am finishing school at Utah Valley University and hope to begin my career in video game composition. And I'm currently writing scores for audiobooks, as well as putting together demo reels for voice acting. I feel like I want to do both. Why not?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, broaden out your skills as much as possible. You got the talent. No reason not to.
Yeah. Like voice act and write music for video games or anime or fun things like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Do either one of you have like a long history of playing Dungeons & Dragons, Neverwinter Nights? Or?
Oh, boy. I can countless hours of Dungeons & Dragons. Holy cow.
He can count those as mine, too, because I've played D&D just a little bit, but hardly any at all. So.
Nice. Well, hey, you don't need to play D&D to do good composition. So there's no prerequisite. I need to have learned how to play a fighter and a wizard before I can compose the score.
We did play my music in the background, so that was fun.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I know back in we used to do a lot of pen and paper stuff. I mean, we would do like cassette tapes. This is back in the 80s, before we had writable CDs and whatnot. We used to do cheese music, though. I mean, it wasn't like anywhere near the quality of stuff you guys put out. But I remember running our campaigns like that. It was a lot of fun having like the stuff in the background narration instead of having the DM read. You just play the tape, type stuff like that. It was nice to have that set up ahead of time by the DM.
Well, that's a lot better than what we did. We had a Game Boy with Final Fantasy III in the battle scene looping constantly.
Hey, that's creative. I you know, hey, a lot of people probably would never even thought of doing something like that. You know, just to get the stuff all set up, and he's got the pen and paper, and just doing it through just straight talking and stuff. That's actually really cool to do. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I was brought over to my friend's house, and he was like, "You got to come play with us." So I did, and he had a CD of just a mix of epic music going. And so I had my laptop with me, as well as a set of like USB speakers. So they're like, play your stuff. So I put it on, and they loved it.
So how did you guys decide to get started in the creation of Darktide?
Well, yeah, I've actually had the whole idea of the Darktide. I mean, that's been in creation for like years, I guess, the storyline. It was actually originally based in like, I'm a big Forgotten Realms buff. Always loved it. It's what we played when I was in Dungeons & Dragons, all my stuff. I made the story based in the Forgotten Realms and up like in the Silver Marches and the, you know, Silver and Moon, my favorite areas. And when I decided, I've been helping out Thomas over at Neverending Nights. I've been writing music for him and been doing a little bit of voice acting for him as well. And they're coming to a close here pretty soon. I think they're on their last episode. And I had been enjoying myself too much. I didn't want to stop. So I decided, what the heck, I'll go ahead and I'll you know, start my own machinima. You know, this will be great. It'll be fun. And I was trying to brainstorm ideas that would come, or, you know, brainstorm ideas that what I could do for a storyline, what I could do, you know, for characters. And I finally came back to this story I had. But I didn't want to base it in the Forgotten Realms, mainly because if I do something wrong, if I get one little aspect wrong, oh man, I can imagine the flaming on YouTube and the forums. Holy cow. So,
oh yeah.
So if you notice,
yeah,
like,
he said it's a plus one sword, yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you notice the city is Golden Step. I think Silver Marches, Golden Step. Yeah, there's going to be many, many, many parallels that some of them are going to be really painfully obvious, almost to the point of almost bad taste, but there's others that, you know, if you know a lot more of the in-depth aspects, you'll get these little subtle hints. Yeah. But that's what kind of where the story came from.
Eh, good puns never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Get immersed in the world.
So is this story in any way related to the Neverending Night story that Thomas did?
No, it's actually a complete separate world. I mean, I never even thought about that. I mean, we developed them separately, and probably not.
Yeah, probably not. I think you know if it was.
They're like towns apart without even knowing it.
Tom Logue actually does play a character in your story, correct?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. Well, speaking of characters, actually, who are the main characters of the Darktide, and can you give us a brief character background for each?
All right, I can give a. Well, I guess to start off, I think might be fun to have Chris explain Dimmy Neeshed, the leader.
One of the main characters, the character I play, his name is Dimmy Neeshed. He is a bard / halfling and leader of the Darktide. And basically, he had been... Dimmy was kind of his own person and was working for the High Lady as a bard, as a court bard. And while he had... he never really liked her. He had kind of been sick of her rule, started running these underground factions to not exactly overthrow, but just like sort of corrupt her land through thievery or smuggling, that kind of thing. So eventually he owns his own tavern, which is called the White Feather, I believe. Right, Travis? White Feather is a tavern where sort of the home base of the Darktide. It's a group of assassins, spies, thieves, and just doing anything that can sort of now take down the High Lady one little baby step at a time.
Yeah, he's very charismatic, and he's got this, you know, rapier wit about him.
So. Yes, he does. He's got this very commanding power over the people around him. Can get you to do anything he wants.
Nice.
Not anything.
He's probably got a charisma of about, you know, 19 to 21, you know. He's pretty good.
And it's funny, Travis made him the bard because when Travis and I first met, he's like half a foot shorter than I am.
Yeah.
So, of course, you got to be the short guy.
Okay. So, Demi's kind of the leader.
Yes.
Okay. He is the leader, I guess, not kind of.
I am the leader. All right. So, that's Demi. Go on.
I guess, you know, a good way, you know, inspiration for him was kind of, as all machinima, we, as much as some would hate to say it, are inspired by the most famous machinima, Red versus Blue. And a good comparison between that would be Demi would be a good, like, the director character.
That's actually interesting. He hadn't told me that, but when I was trying out voices for Demi, I had done something kind of like the director, and he totally caught me on that.
It was perfect.
Yeah, I had no idea he was based on the director. That's funny now that I think about it.
I mean, I hate to say I based something on another machinima, but...
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, whether you intend to do it or not, when you see something that really inspires you, you're going to be influenced implicitly somehow. You know, it's not a bad thing. I mean, there's a reason why the red versus blue was as successful as it was, because it was, you know, it was a groundbreaking thing, something done new, and you know, look how much came from that already.
Oh yeah, awesome.
Yeah. Whether it's your product, the Dark Tide, or even Thomas and stuff, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you really guys are really pioneering the, you know, a new frontier in a way, and especially using the technology you're using. It's great. It's great to see that.
And it's funny because in Never Ending Nights, there's a lot of sort of red versus blue inside jokes, right?
Oh yeah. but I guess back to the characters. I guess I don't want to, you know, draw too many tangents here, but as kind of I prefer to call them my dream team. I have a wonderful cast of people that have made this entire thing possible, and every one of them plays one of these characters. And each one of them, I've put part of them into the character when I'm thinking about it. And I guess, you know, kind of to go back, go down to kind of, I guess I'll just do alphabetically. It might be the best way to go. There's a wizard. He's an elf. He's a young elf, so, you know, basically in his... He's just before 200. His name's All Red. He's all red, is always wearing blue.
Yeah.
He's nice. He's a... Yeah. I know that was kind of a poor taste humor, but I loved it. He's an illusionist. He studied in a school there in Golden Step. He's a flat-out genius. A good way to contrast his personality would be, you know, Dr. Jackson from Stargate with a little bit of Tucker from Red versus Blue.
Nice.
Dr. Jackson.
Yep. So he's a genius, but he's also really immature. But the person playing this role, his name's Tim Bedell. He's I'm not saying he's immature. He's actually quite the opposite. He's a fellow member. I'm in a music band, Phimuel Sinfonia, and he's a fellow member of that. And working with him and seeing him, he's one of the... I have a lot of Dungeons & Dragons conversations with him because he does a lot himself. And when I just filled this role, it was just so perfect, having this nerdy genius being played by a nerdy genius. It was awesome. So, I guess, and the next person down the line would be the next character is Ensign. Ensign is a ranger. She is an elf, a really, really young elf, like not even 100 yet. She actually is the leader of the team. Demi's the leader of the entire guild of the Dark Tide. But Ensign's the actual leader. She actually takes control of the situation, and she's very assertive, and she's capable, very, very capable as a rogue. Where, you know, as the character Snaith, the one that's that I play, tries his hardest to be the leader of the team, but he fails horribly, and Ensign always steps in and takes the reins and always is the actual leadership role. She's actually a flat-out BA. Everything she does is awesome. And I'm a little biased for this character because mainly the person who plays this character is, her name's Rochelle Cool. And, I've been dating her for about a year, or just a year, not even a week ago, and we were just engaged on the 30th of July, and we're getting married in February, so I'm kind of biased.
Congratulations.
Thank you. See, there's hope for nerds.
Yeah. So. Yes, there is. Absolutely.
So. And I definitely commend you on your sense of self-preservation there.
Yeah. Very nice. And then I guess the next character in line would be Harold. He's a pirate. He's the one that Thomas from Neverending Nights plays. And Thomas has done a great job with him, and he actually pointed out, you know, it seems like every one of his lines, you know, 90% of his line is the pirate going, "Arr!" He doesn't do much else, but he's the unspoken hero of the team. He actually steps in, and he MacGyvers his way, or I guess he MacGyvers the team out of any situation, any tough situation whatsoever. And he's actually the captain of a ship that I absolutely... It's a joke that's going to happen a little bit later on, but the name of the ship is Doom Thinky. So, and he's a pirate.
He's sort of like the flashy one, right?
Which one?
Harold. He's sort of the flashy one, isn't he? Ish,
yeah.
I mean, like, while the rest of the team has their faces covered, he does not, or something.
Yeah, I had to have that. When it comes down to one of the main things I try to do in the series is implement tons of community content, because Neverwinter Nights has an incredible, incredible community. And one of the things was a hat, like a fedora, and I couldn't resist. I was normally going to have all their faces covered for a few reasons. First of all, they, you know, it's part of the story, you know, they have their faces covered. But, and the reason they had their faces covered is because there's no lip syncing in Neverwinter Nights 1. And I wanted to kind of cover that up. But I couldn't resist with the hat. It was just awesome.
Well, watching your prologue, I definitely got a pretty big kick out of the pirate, you know, hard. It's like, I mean, I actually was laughing my ass off. It was so perfect where you put it in, and how it like went with the conversation and everything. I really, that was great. That was good.
Oh yeah, the way that he Thomas inflected the pirate, you know, this. And he just filled the role perfectly. It was awesome. I guess in the next character would be Snaef, the character I play. He's the rogue. And there's, of course, you know, the jokes come up, you know. The typical jokes that every Dungeons & Dragons things makes fun of, you know. He's a, you know, like they call him a thief, and he's like, "I'm a rogue, not a thief." But the unique part about Snaef, and I just threw this in there just to be kind of kooky, he's a rogue. But his weapon of choice is the greatsword. So it's, you know, that contrast right there really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm picturing somebody trying to do a sneak attack with a greatsword.
Exactly. But, I mean,
he gets made off of that, right?
Oh, yeah, a lot. That was that's the one thing that, you know, kind of, that's the flaw in his character. But if you get on the website, his character biography, it goes through and describes why he uses it. I had to come up with a story. I guess that's it for the team. There's also a couple antagonists in the series. One is another friend of mine named Robert Peterson. He plays a role of the captain of the High Lady's Guard. The captain, he's kind of mad that this other mercenary has stepped in and kind of taken his role, which is the other antagonist, which is the assassin, which is played by Chris Gavinesh, who also, he does art for the series. He's the one that did the cartography for the prologue and the preview, and he's hopefully going to do some more. I'll see what he thinks, but they'll be developed a little more later. You really don't see them until episode 2 and 3. So, and as for the crew or the as for the characters, that's about it. I don't know if I'm leaving any out. I think I'm doing good.
So with this great cast you have set up, and it definitely sounds like a great cast, how are you guys going to plan out the episodes? Are you going to do it sort of like the guild system where it's a 5 to 10 minute episode, or are you guys going to do longer episodes, or what sort of setup are you guys going to use?
Well, the episodes, well, first of all, there's only 6 episodes written so far. I plan on going about 20, 25 to 30, I guess. Why did I say he's? Really, with the episode length, it all determines the content of the episode. I don't want to necessarily say it's going to be 5 minutes or it's going to be 10 minutes. I think most of them will hit about the 5 minute mark at least. So they'll be between 5 and 10 minutes probably, especially when you add the credits. I mean, we got to show off the music. It's Chris has done a really good job of writing an opening sequence, or I guess his the intro sequence music, and it's with actual, like, how many live recorders or people helped you with that?
Well, what happened, I wrote everything down using MIDI and then recorded live. Well, let's see, strings were MIDI, most of the percussion was MIDI, then I recorded live brass, me playing the tuba and trombone a bunch of times, me playing a panpipe I got from Peru, Peru, as well as a didgeridoo from Australia, and then me and about six of my friends singing layer after layer for the choir part, and then me playing the electric guitar. So quite a bit of live stuff. It's like the most work I've put into a single track, probably.
Oh, yeah, and it turned out real well. It's only about 45 seconds long, but it was perfect for an intro sequence. So with that intro sequence and the credit sequence, which I wrote the credit sequence music, aside from those, the episodes are probably going to be about 4 minutes long.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I see that you're using the Neverwinter Nights 1 engine to create the Dark Tide. What was the deciding factor of using Neverwinter Nights 1 instead of Neverwinter Nights 2, and what are some of the technical challenges you have in that engine?
Well, originally, I wanted to use Neverwinter Nights 2 just because it's, you know, better graphics, that's more modern of a look, a more contemporary video game. But the moment I opened up the tool set, I was like, nope, this isn't going to happen. It was downhill from there. I don't know the Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set at all. But
yeah, it does take a while to get acclimated with it, for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I had worked on a... I used to be a member of a Persistent World back... I guess it's been about 3-4 years since it's been around. And Neverwinter Nights 1, where I was... It was actually, you know, my... Back to my thing about, you know, the Silver Marches and the Forgotten Realms was actually the Silver Marches server way back in the day of Neverwinter, before all the expansion packs for Neverwinter Nights. And after a while, I finally worked my way into being a builder there, and so I got to know the tool set pretty well. So I know the Neverwinter Nights 1 tool set, and I know all the Neverwinter Nights 1 content very well, so that it seemed more logical in my head to actually use the Neverwinter Nights 1 content and the tool set for the filming, just because it's I don't have to learn to use it. I've already learned how to use it. It makes the process a lot easier. So
yeah, it makes sense.
Now, it's been a pain to record an Neverwinter Nights one though, to film. Holy cow.
Because of the camera angles and stuff like that, or yeah.
Yeah, I actually downloaded a few camera hacks to see if I could figure out one that would work. I finally got something working, and I ended up putting a suit of invisible armor on a character, on an NPC that I could, you know, in the, you know, the dungeon master mode, I can go in and control him, and so I have this invisible character, so I don't worry about, you know, the thin or being focused on just one character. You know, I can actually center the entire group in the film. It's been a tough filming process, but I think I'm slowly learning it.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine trying to do that.
Yeah, it is a lot harder in Neverwinter 1 than it is 2 for that part, because I mean, at least with 2, because we've done some videos for our campaign, like campaign closing videos, stuff like that. The one nice thing that I leveraged was the fact that they had that cutscene conversation system.
Yeah,
that certainly is extremely functional, especially with the static cameras and all that good stuff. I mean, if you really spend the time learning that and using that, it does cut off a lot of that for that purpose. But having to do it the way you're doing it, that's I commend you for that. That's got to be tedious at some point.
Well, yeah, and it's amazing to see, like, I go back and watch Neverending Nights and what, you know, Thomas and Adam have done with the filming, and or you go and watch Bloodspell, and it's just, I'm trying to learn how they did that. It's a slow process.
Yeah, it almost sounds like one of those things that you have to figure out how somebody else broke it and put it back together.
Yeah, I had a faction issue once where I wanted to cast a spell on a character, and all of a sudden everything just went haywire, and they all started attacking me, and it was just, oops. And I didn't save the anything, so I had to go and reset it up. It was a pain.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, out of curiosity, do you guys play Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2, or do you guys mainly just use it as a recording tool for Neverwinter Nights 1?
Well, I used to play Neverwinter Nights 1 pretty religiously through high school, but Neverwinter Nights 2, I bought it when it first came out because we were all looking forward to it, and I've played through the campaign, but I've never really ventured past that with Neverwinter Nights 2. And right now, mainly, I use Neverwinter Nights as a film set, as my tools to make the film. I really don't have, unfortunately, with my final semester in college, I really have no time to play any video games. My Xbox is collecting dust.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I remember my senior year, if the PC was on, it was for homework and nothing else.
No, I recommended the game to Chris. I don't know if he ever played it.
I never ended up playing it mostly because I have a Mac and all that, but he did show me the community mod website, and when I was first starting out composing, I had used that a lot to put my own music, things like that. So I never actually played the game itself, but I've been involved with it.
Well, it's actually Chris put some amazing music on there, and it's kind of sad that on the Neverwinter Vault, it's really, the entire sound section is kind of a ghost town now.
Yeah.
People don't take it seriously anymore for some reason. I don't know why. It's like, I don't know,
I could say this for sure, and you know, this is something I was going to talk to you regardless of after the show or whatnot. The fact that I know that when we were expanding our campaign, we actually had one full campaign, and then, you know, as we were getting to the second, we were trying to really get new stuff in, you know, new placeables, new packs and sounds and everything, music. And I'll tell you what, I really appreciate your work, Travis, you know, getting that stuff out there, because there is, I'd say, at least six to ten scores you did were fantastic and fit exactly what, you know, we were trying to convey. And I know the players love it. I get compliments all the time about it, you know, the scores and everything like that. And I just wanted to give a, you know, personally, that what you have done, regardless of what the Vault's been able to do these days in its defunct status, you know, it really, it's appreciated. And I know a lot of our players appreciate it as well.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
No problem, man. Thank you for the stuff. And, you know, and you are credited. Don't worry. we did not take credit for such things, even in our videos. But yeah, certainly, is appreciated. And yeah, it makes a big difference. You know, music composition is a little bit different than a lot of other stuff. I mean, you see there's a very high lack of, like, development of this, like, the more creative talents. Like, for instance, like musical scores, 3D modeling, like coming up with new creatures and mobs and things like that. Hell, we run a contest to, you know, with, you know, decent prize, nothing crazy, but, you know, what we could do with our limited budget. Yeah. And we haven't gotten a single person to submit a 3D model in like 3 months now. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you would think that the community would be a little bit more active than it is. And it's just really, it's a shame to see that there is a degradation. So I don't believe any of that is reflecting of anything else other than the fact that it's what's going on within the community, not your work.
Well, yeah, I noticed that on the Vault, it actually, after Neverwinter Nights 2 came out, they shuffled the sounds category under Neverwinter Nights 1. So it kind of got put under the rug, figuratively.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 use the exact same, basically almost everything the same, believe it or not. Only thing, 2 is basically just an extension of 1. They took the exact same code, same engine, same everything, and put lipstick on the pig and, you know, threw it out, called Neverwinter Nights 2 with a new graphics engine model for the way they do the boards and stuff. And that's pretty much it, more or less.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, can you throw out a couple of the zones that have some of those scores you were talking about on?
Actually, yeah, I would. Some of the most noteworthy of the zones would be in our second campaign, in the sequence where General Brandon Slick is murdered, and you have to fight your way out of there, you know, from the advancing horde. You know, that was one of them where we used, I believe, that March of Heroes.
All right.
Yeah, we used that one there, and I think you had one called Sonovox, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used that one in our, actually, we used that in our Hells areas. We had a couple of Hell areas that we did. Well, we did a lot of the actual Hells, and we used that there and a bunch of other different stuff. Some of our Ethereal Plane stuff, too. There was a couple of good ones you had that were, like, really good that we used for that, too.
Yeah, Travis talks a lot about, like, how my music's good, but his stuff's just amazing. I love it.
Absolutely.
It was funny when we first met. I had just started getting into writing, and he had been writing long before I did. And, you know, I was like, oh, this is fun, I want to do it. He showed me his stuff, and that sort of made me want to get better, because I'm like, dang it, do better.
Unfortunately, it's an expensive endeavor. All these sound libraries cost upwards of, you know, I guess the cheapest would be like $300. You can spend upwards of thousands and thousands of dollars just on these libraries to make music sound real.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I mean, it's definitely something very specialized, so you can expect to spend some cash on it.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
So we were talking a bit about the Vault and everything. Where do you guys see the Neverwinter Nights community going in the next year or so, and what do you guys think about Cryptic's new Neverwinter?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't looked at the Vault too much. I mean, I've posted my stuff there, and I always, you know, peek back occasionally. And I guess with this creation of the Dark Tide, I just dug through the Vault and just completely gutted, you know, the tile set section inside out, and all, you know, these custom content sections. And it's amazing. But on the like, you look at some of the comments and the dates of the comments, and it's like the most recent comment would be like 5 months ago, if that. Some of them upwards of like 3 years ago. Unfortunately, it looks like I could be wrong. and I hope I am. I mean, it looks like every year I've noticed it just slowly, it just seems like it just takes one more layer away, and I remember, you know, a few years back, they took away, you know, the hosted sites. They just recently, you know, now they're having problems with the email issues, but I'm hoping it's just like a sickness, like what I got right now, that they'll just get better. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. Showing episodes of the Dark Tide with the custom items and tossets and all that. Hopefully, if people watch it, they'll want to download that for themselves. So
yeah, that was actually one of the key things I wanted to emphasize was in the series was the community content. There is going to be tons of community content in the series, and hopefully I want to shed like a new light, maybe just try to get it out there that, you know, people can see like look how amazing this steel can be.
Yeah, no, actually that's nice. That's like a video documentary of the custom, you know, conglomeration of the custom content that's available. You know, people are getting some FaceTime out there instead of them having to worry about, oh, I've got to video capture this. And, you know, people typically don't. The best thing that you see with custom content that's posted is maybe screenshots, you know, and that's pretty much it. So, but you actually using it and showing it in a really specific light like that, and it's almost like you're watching a video. I mean, you're watching a story with this custom content. It really shows how well that custom content can be used to portray whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah. Speaking of videos, that's actually the hardest thing, is trying to make it cinematic and not look like I'm actually from the video game. It's actually filmed. And just I want to give it the best light I can. I was hoping there's something called NW Shader. I was hoping I'd get it to work, but I couldn't, because that would just made everything look gorgeous, but it just didn't work on my computer.
Yeah, I have seen that in the past, where they basically pretty much mimic what was done in Neverwinter 2.
Yeah.
With the shading and the pixeling and everything, with the shadows and stuff. Yeah, I have seen it, but I've never seen it actually used either. You know, of course, I don't play Neverwinter 1 that much anymore, so it's kind of hard to see the new stuff. But did you, you know, just not to stray off topic, but did you use Project Q content, or did you use the CEP?
I used the CEP. I tried my hardest to get them both to work together, but in the end, I decided it wasn't worth the time.
Yeah, I know. I read a lot of stuff about, well, you got a lot of 2DA conflicts and resourcing and stuff. That would be the really big challenge right there. You know, otherwise, yeah, it would be awesome to have both working simultaneously.
Yeah, I mean, I still wish I could have gotten it to work. I mean, I probably spent a few nights. I mean, we're talking all night from, you know,
never 8 o'clock.
Nights. Yeah, never ending night.
Never ending, yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Well, you know, maybe if you can figure it out, have a special episode, you know?
Oh, yeah. If I can just figure, it's the 2DA issues that just, I'd have to rewrite the whole system.
Well, it's the 2DAs and all the placeables would have to be readdressed, too.
Yeah,
it's funny we talk about this, but when we started, we incorporated a hack. It was almost like a CEP was started for Neverwinter 2. It was called Chaos Placeables, you know, and the guy put all this crap together, and it was awesome. I mean, he had all this stuff working together that before was not working, so if you were to download it separately, it wouldn't. And so we used it. We're like, hey, this is great. You know, we can get all these RWS towers in and this, that, and the other. Well, as when Storm of Zaheer came out, because of the person who did the hack pack, he used the lines that Storm of Zaheer wrote.
Oh.
So, well, thank God, one of our DMs, Kama, he actually rewrote he readdressed everything to push down the Storm of Zaheer content past the other one, and it worked. But he had to actually make copies of all the placeables and readdress their appearance.
Yeah, I actually found something that was really a genius idea that somebody did. I got even more nerdy, and I decided to, you know, they had some hacks out there that made you able to put Fable weapons on your characters, and the, you know, just the texture and everything, they look so much better than, I love the Neverwinter Nights, you know, textures of the weapons, but these just looked so much more, you know, thought out and drawn, because, you know, it was from a newer game. And the guy that created it, I can't remember his name or else I'd say it, he actually developed them as their own brand new weapons that maybe just basically duplicated everything that, you know, that the weapon was. And just so when you go to create it, it said great sword and then great sword 2, and you chose the great sword 2 when you wanted to create that sword, and it works identical to the same great sword. You don't have to about overwriting the, you know, the 2DA files and everything like that. It was a genius idea. I wish more would do things like that.
Well, in closing, you know, I want to ask you one more thing. Is there anything that either one of you would like to share with the audience in the Neverwinter Nights community about your stuff or anything else?
don't give up on the mod community. Check out the vault.
Yeah,
there's lots of cool unknown stuff there. Textures, music, etc., etc.
Yeah. If you make something really good and it works with our module, you know, for the Dark Tide, heck, we'll probably include it. Just if it's really good, we want to add that quality to our own.
We should make it a contest.
Yeah. Resistance is futile.
Get your content in the Dark Tide.
Dun, dun, dun. Hey, you never know. I mean, it certainly is a possibility. I mean, I can't speak from the two, Neverwinter 2 standpoint, because every time we try something that arena, it seems like it's falling on deaf ears for the most part. But Neverwinter 1, I know there's still a lot of good people out there writing stuff and adding stuff regularly. You know, I think that definitely if you're out there listening to this podcast, certainly if you have some custom content that you're kind of sitting on, it hasn't quite done yet. I know we interviewed Sixes Thrice a couple of months back, and, you know, he had stuff that he hadn't had quite done yet, but, you know, he's nipping and tucking at it. But if you're like him and other content creators, you've got something that's getting pretty close, hey, this is a good opportunity, because guys over here at Dark Tide, they're getting really they're really getting ready to pump out a lot of content. You know, it'd be a good opportunity to get your stuff shown and probably used amongst all my other Persistent Worlds once it's shown. So
yeah, and if you make something really good and you like what we do, like our Facebook page, you know, go to our website. We'll get in touch with us. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, the Facebook page, it's darktide.co.
Well, that's the website.
Oh, that's the website. That's the website. And then the Facebook page is just facebook.com/thedarktide, right?
Yep. And it's actually darktide.co. There's no M after it. Just www.darktide.co.
You saved everybody one character click on their keyboard. Do you see that?
Yep.
By not putting the M on the end. See that? See,
everybody does it, and it's not our website. So it's like, surprise.
Yep.
So that's just wasted effort.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why I said I appreciate the savings.
Exactly.
Savings. Well, thanks again. I want to, you know, before we close out, I want to say thanks again for coming on the show, you know, talking about your new stuff. I do love this Dark Tide series. I'll be a watcher, no doubt about that. And, you know, we're your strategic partners here at the podcast and at the Realms of Trinity. You know, we certainly have liked you on both our pages, and we'll constantly, you know, if you have any updates or something you want to get put out there, post on our forum on the podcast, because both the Neverwinter Nights podcast listeners and the Realms of Trinity players will see that.
All right.
So,
I'll do that.
Yep, definitely one way to one-stop shop.
Yep, perfect.
Well, hey, Travis, you get ending show line.
I do. Oh.
Yes, you do.
I got to do a dramatic. Get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity. We are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2011.